Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh Munt. Sitting next to me in a different state, he's back, all tanned up, all peeling, fresh off his vacation, is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. As I like to tell everybody, I'm tanner than most.
Tanner than most.
Knew that. Tanner than most. But no, happy to be back. Happy to be back. We'll see if I remember how to do this thing. It only missed two shows, but it feels like I missed over a month's worth, to be honest.
Yeah, I am. I'm very grateful you're back because hosting duties are not. It's not my thing. Not my thing.
I thought you did a really good job. I want to give thanks to your dad, Dan Munt, and our good buddy Evan Webb. I thought they were awesome guests. Mm-hmm. I thought both shows went very smooth. So you don't give yourself enough credit.
Oh, I think they went smooth. I just didn't enjoy being the guy that propels the conversation. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. That's fair. I get it. There's some pressure to it, especially since we're live on the IAC Sports Network. So
there is some pressure, and I felt the immense weight of that pressure filling in for. Putting your hat on, filling your shoes, whatever you want to say for the.
Well, I'm pretty sure you wear a bigger shoe than me and wear a bigger hat size than me, so shouldn't be too hard to fit one.
That's a pretty good assumption, I'd say.
What shoe size are you?
It goes back and forth, 11 and a half or 12.
I'm usually 9.5, so Yeah.
I don't remember last time I've worn a hat, so I don't even know what hat size I am. But just based off the visual, I would say my head's double the size of your head.
I think mine. I don't get fitted hats anymore. I get snapbacks, or if I do get a fitted, it's like small / medium. It doesn't have I think mine was like a 7.25, maybe. I don't know. Very small head. But my father, Eric Lee, and he's probably gonna be mad at me for saying this and throwing him under the bus a little bit. His head's so huge, he has a hard time finding hats to fit his head.
Biggie, like,
one size fits most usually don't fit his head. Honest to God truth. But yeah, we got a lot going on in the sports world. I've had a lot going on the last couple of weeks. Baseball's hot and heavy. Playoffs coming up. NFL's approaching week 3 after the doubleheader tonight and Monday night's over. College football's in week 4 now. Crazy. Everything's moving so fast.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're already week 4 of the college football season. It seems like it hits hard every single year where we look up and we're, halfway through already, and we're getting there.
We are. So I brought some birdie or bogey trivia with me tonight, but I actually have two questions. So like I like to do, I'm going to give you the option of which kind of question you want. They're both football related, both NFL related. One has to do with a player. One has to do with stadiums.
I'm going to choose the player.
All right.
I'm bad with stadiums.
All right. Since the start of the 2023 season, who leads the NFL in touchdown passes?
Touchdown passes? Wow. I have no idea, but I'm going to give it a good old college try. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine cocktails located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
And let me see what they got up. I know you read their new fall menu last week in their new fall hours. Let me see what they had over the weekend, though, for a special. They had fish again. So beer batter, fish, and chips. So, and to remind everybody, their new hours are closed Sunday through Wednesday, open Friday from 4 to 9, or Thursday 4 to 9, Friday and Saturday 4 to 10. So,
all right. do you want to give that other question, or do you want to keep it in the holster for future episode?
No, I'll give it. So there's 32 teams in NFL, so there's 32 stadiums. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday on the drive down to the Broncos-Colts game with my wife. And what brought this up was the Broncos announced building of a new stadium that they're hoping to have completed by 2031. And we were trying to we were wondering, especially since the Walton Pinner family is privately funding this thing, if it's going to have a sponsor or not for the stadium, or if they're just going to name it like Mile High Stadium or whatever. And it got me thinking, how many stadiums of there's three of the 32 stadiums that don't have a sponsor name. Name those three. Only three of 32.
Wow. Lambeau Field.
Correct.
I would imagine Soldier Field is also one of them.
Correct.
The other one that does not have a sponsor. The Broncos didn't there for a while, did they?
They didn't until 01 in their current stadium. And since then, it's been named three times. It's crazy how often sponsors change.
Man, I have no idea. I don't even have a guess. I'm bad with stadium names, though.
Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, that makes sense.
But there's a controversy. Technically, like Wikipedia says Arrowhead Stadium. But if you click on it, it's like such and such field at Arrowhead Stadium. But on the outside of the stadium, it says Arrowhead Stadium. So I don't know, but that's why I said
That's kind of how Wrigley Field is, too. Has a bunch of sponsors with it. And it's kind of that way. Because I remember a lot of people were mad when Wrigley did that, had sponsor to it. But, that's a good question. I wouldn't have got Arrowhead. I probably should have gotten Arrowhead, but... Know how my brain works on a Monday.
Well, before I looked it up, I came up with Lambeau and Soldier right away. I didn't think Arrowhead either. But it's amazing to me there's only three, because if you go back 10 years ago, there was a lot more than just three.
Yeah, I even remember Dolphins were Pro Player Stadium, and then they were Dolphin Stadium for a few years until they got another sponsor. So, money is king.
Yep. Yes, it is. So you picked wisely, my friend, which trivia question you wanted to go with.
We'll see.
I probably would have tried the stadiums, as crazy as that sounds, because, I mean, we're middle of September, and I haven't got a trivia question right for a birdie yet, embarrassingly enough. But we got a lot of football talk tonight on the college side and the pro side, but we're going to start off with some baseball talk, because things are really heating up. Especially in that NL Wild.
Yeah, there's only 2 weeks left of the season, believe it or not. I mean, Cubs only have 13 games left. But yeah, I'm a little dramatic on Twitter here in September.
Just a little.
Saying I think I said on Saturday, this is a very good Cubs team, and I've never been more miserable watching them or something like that. I laughed.
I'm like, I guarantee you've been more miserable watching the Cubs than you have this year.
Oh yeah. 2018 was bad. That collapse there was bad. 2019 was bad as well. I'm pouty when they lose teams I feel like they should beat. But they're in a real good spot. I mean, their magic number to clinch a playoff spot is four. So they theoretically could do it by as early as tomorrow night. They'd need some help to do that. But they had a 4-2 week. Played all right. I mean, they won 2-3 in Atlanta, 2-3 in against Tampa at home. So hard to really complain. They've won, I think, 8 of their last 10 series. So they've been playing some pretty good baseball. They just haven't been able to go on a run. Like, they haven't been able to go on a long win streak, stuff like that. But they've been playing, for the most part, consistently fairly well here over the past month or so. So, they got a healthy lead in a wild card spot. They are currently, it looks like, they are 2.5 up on they are 3.5 up on San Diego for that top wild card spot, which would be huge, because that means you get to host those three games in the wild card round instead of having to go to San Diego, which would be bad. Elsewhere around baseball, the wild card, as you said, in the National League, really both wild cards are pretty close here. The Mets have been in an absolute free fall. They have lost since June 24th. They had the best record in baseball. Since then, they are 32-49, which is the third worst record in baseball. The Rockies and Nationals are the only teams that have a worse record than the Mets since June 24th. And they have seen a healthy division lead just completely be obliterated by the Philadelphia Phillies, who are now 12 games up on the Mets. And I think their magic number to clinch the NL East is one game. It is one game, and then hot on their hot on their heels are the hottest team in baseball, the San Francisco Giants, who are just a game and a half back of the Mets. The Giants did have a stretch where they had won, I think, 10 of 11 to get even back in it. But they did lose 2 of 3 to the Dodgers over the weekend. But they're a game and a half behind the Mets. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 2 games behind the Mets, and the Giants and Diamondbacks play this week at the beginning of the week. And then the Cincinnati Reds are 2.5 games back for that final wild card spot in the National League. Division-wise, you got decent leads in the majority of the divisions, except the two Western divisions are pretty close. The Dodgers have a 2.5-game lead on the Padres. Seattle Mariners have fought all the way back and have taken a 1-game lead on the Houston Astros in the West.
When it comes to the West, would you rather see the Padres than the Dodgers, I'm assuming?
1,000%. Yeah. I'm hoping the Dodgers end up winning the division there, because I think Cubs have a very good chance to beat the Padres in Wrigley or in San Diego. But Dodgers are a whole different animal. Cubs do have a better record than the Dodgers, though, by a game right now. But still, I'd much rather face the San Diego Padres. But Cubs are in a good spot. The final couple weeks are always real fun, depending on how good the races are. And they're, as I said, both wild cards are pretty close. Houston has a 2-game lead on the Texas Rangers, 2.5 on Cleveland for that final wild card spot in the American League. And so both Western divisions, they're duking it out. But the Cubs this week have 7 games. They are in Pittsburgh tonight, and then they are in Cincinnati for 4 towards the end of the week. So hopefully they can have a playoff spot wrapped up and kind of take a deep breath heading into the weekend.
It's interesting when you're talking about the NL wild card race, because to me, every time Cincinnati gets close, they have a bad series or two, and they fall back. In Arizona, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like the last handful of years, they make a charge at the end of the year. Doesn't always mean they make the playoffs, but they're always charging come September.
I mean, just 2 years ago, they made the playoffs, even though they made the World Series, even though they only had won 84 games during the regular season. They kind of got hot at the right time. But yeah, the Reds, they get up there. I think they got up to a game back of the Mets, and then they get swept by the Athletics.
Teams you need to take advantage of, yeah.
Yeah, and so, they get close, and they fall back. So as of right now, it would be real tough, because they'd have to jump 4 teams, essentially, for that final wild card spot with just 2 weeks to play. So they need to get hot quick in order to do that.
Yep. So in the AL wild card, I don't remember if you went over that. Is that still Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros? Maybe not in that order, but.
Yeah, it's Yankees have a 2.5-game, or they have a game and a half lead on the Red Sox for that top wild card spot, and 2.5 up on Houston for that final wild card spot. And Houston has a 2-game lead on Texas and a 2.5-game lead on Cleveland for that final wild card spot.
So, yeah, Cleveland's trying to make a push again, too.
They are. They've gotten hot. So credit them, and credit Arizona, too, for staying in it, because they were kind of falling by the wayside there and became sellers at the trade deadline, if you remember. And they're hanging in there just a couple games back of that New York Mets team.
And my last baseball question for you is, now that we're in the middle of September and the season's 2 weeks out from being over the regular season, who's the most disappointing team in the league for you this year?
It's hard to not say the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. I would say they're the most disappointing. I mean, they're 17 games under 500. They've been eliminated 66-83. They have too much talent to be that, bad. On the flip side, I would say the most surprising is probably Toronto. They didn't get much buzz at all.
Especially with how they started.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't get much buzz at all, and here they are 25 games over 500, a 4-game lead on the Yankees in the East. No one's really talking about them, so I think they are a major surprise. Mets could also be considered a disappointment after spending $600+ million on Juan Soto.
Knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that was even one of my bold predictions, is the Mets would not make the playoffs. So there's a chance that happens. It didn't look good there for a while, but they've definitely played themselves into a very precarious position here heading into the final couple weeks.
Poor Frank Fleming. I mean, you got it bad as a Dolphin fan, but at least you like the Cubs. He with the Dolphins and the Mets. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's rough for old Frank the Tank right now. He's pretty locked in on the Mets right now, which is kind of distracting him from the Dolphins' putrid start. But at least I have the Cubs fall back on, and that's softened the blow significantly for me.
On the Illini basketball about 50 days from now. So
yeah, they're injured already.
Are they really?
Yeah, it looks like Ty Rogers is out for the season already.
Really? I did not see that.
He blew out his knee in a pickup game in May or June back in his hometown. And then Andre Stojakovic has a sprained knee. Now, he did it a few weeks ago, so they think he'll be ready for start of practice, but you don't want to really mess around with a sprained knee.
Oh boy.
So they are a little banged up, but Yeah, well, there was a picture of Ty Rogers, and it didn't look like he was wearing a brace, and it looked like he was in uniform just during workouts here recently, but we don't know if it's no one can figure out if it's a recent picture or if it's a picture from June. The message boards are all, and no one's given us any words. So maybe we got lucky, but the word on the street was that he had a pretty significant knee injury back in the spring. So
I wonder if, you know, I know pros have certain things in their contracts. I wonder if there's any agreement like that they're not supposed to be playing pickup ball off campus.
Yeah, there should be, definitely. But yeah, he was back in his hometown in Michigan, and supposedly it was pretty bad, but haven't heard. And Underwood said it was significant, but that was 3 months ago, so we don't really know. Haven't heard anything about it since.
Interesting. That is news to me. We'll have plenty of basketball talk down the road. But do you want to get educated?
I do, always.
All right. Let's see what has happened in the sports world on September 15th. On this day, 1912, Boston Red Sox pitcher Smokey Joe Wood, what a name, tied a then MLB record of 16 straight wins with a 2-1 victory over the St. Louis Browns.
And they had awesome nicknames back in the day that they just do not have now. It's frustrating.
Nope. I mean, if my name was Joe Brown, I'd hope I had a cool nickname like Smokey.
Yeah. Smokey Joe. Yeah.
Oh, boy. On this day, 1928, the St. Louis Cardinals set an NL record of 18 men left on base, but still beat the Phillies 6-8 at the Baker Bowl in Philadelphia.
That's an incredible amount of base runners. To leave 18 on and still score 6 runs, it's impressive.
On this day, 1946, the Dodgers beat the Cubs by a score 2-0 in only 5 innings. The game was called because of gnats.
Because of gnats. That's weird.
I'm sure Jabba Chamberlain wishes that game would have been called because of gnats years ago.
I remember that one, yeah.
Let's see here. On the day 1961, the 61st U.S. Golf Amateur Championship was won by Jack Nicklaus at the age of 21. Why I bring that up, and I could be wrong, it could have been the Big Ten Championship instead now that I say it, I think it was played at Ackerman Hills on Purdue's campus.
Oh.
I think. That might have been the Big Ten Championship, but either way, he won something there in 1961 because there's a plaque there. But
went to Ohio State, didn't he?
He did, yes. Still a big booster for them. Some cricket. On this day in 1990, Chicago White Sox Bobby Thigpen was the first to record 50 saves.
Dang, not too many have done it since. I know I think K Rod still has the record. Francisco Rodriguez. Did he have 62 that one year? Something like that. I don't remember, 2004 maybe. He was awesome when he first came up, but that might be a record that never gets broken.
On this day, 1995, St. Louis Cardinals shortstop Ozzie Smith, I can honestly say I didn't know he was still playing in 1995, set a record of 1,554 double plays.
Maybe he's one of the most overrated. Now, I'm not just saying that because he's a Cardinal, but one of the more overrated players ever. He's great defensively. I'll give him that. I guess back in his day, shortstops didn't really hit a whole lot, but he was very weak at the plate. during his day. But again, made up for it defensively. I mean, back then you have a guy like him hitting in the two hole, guy gets on, he immediately bunts. So it was a different game.
Yep. On this day, 1996, the Texas Rangers retired their first jersey number. Whose number was it?
I would imagine it's Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan's number 34. You are correct. Wow. On this day in 2000, the 27th Olympic Games opened where?
What year is this?
2000. You should get this one.
2000. It opened in September?
It said open.
Although
I would have been so late, but.
I have no idea. I don't know Olympics very well.
Sydney, Australia.
No, yeah, wouldn't have guessed.
And the reason I remember that is Vince Carter's dunk in the Olympics that year.
Oh, that's where that happened? Okay.
I remember that. Yep. On this day in 2002, Oakland Raider quarterback Rich Gannon began an NFL record tying with Kurt Warner and Steve Young's streak of six consecutive 300-yard passing games as he threw for 403 yards in the Raiders' 30-17 victory at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he had like a good 2-year run there.
Yep.
He kind of made, MVP, I mean, he won an MVP. And yeah.
They made the Super Bowl. So. Yeah. Anything else? On this day in 2022, tennis great Roger Federer announced his retirement from professional tennis at the age of 41 with 20 Grand Slam wins and 103 ATP titles.
Is he the GOAT?
That's tough. I think he is, but you still got Nadal's not. He's great, yeah. But he's not Federer level. And you still got what's his face still going strong? Why can't I think of his name?
Djokovic.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, he's been pretty dang good.
Yeah, those three were pretty good.
So. That was a tough question to answer because I couldn't tell you anyone besides Andre Agassi.
Pete Sampras.
Pete Sampras was good. Who's
Andy,
the guy?
Andy Roddick for years was the best American player, but he couldn't beat Federer and Nadal, so it didn't matter.
Who was the guy that yelled a bunch?
McEnroe.
McEnroe, yeah.
John McEnroe. Yeah. Great role in Mr. Deeds.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'll say Federer is a GOAT. I don't know enough about tennis, but I'll say it. So. But that is the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook, and visiting their new website, which is www.moodywoodandlasercrafts.com. And if you let them know the Tan and J Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. And let's pull up Thad's brand new website, shall we, and show it off a little bit here. Good looking website here. Here's some of his featured products. You can get a custom engraved water bottle for $45, custom leather keychains for starting at $10, custom engraved leather patches starting at $15. Pretty easy site to navigate. You got the shop button right up here and eyebrow menu. So yeah. So if you're looking to getting some laser items on here, this is the place to do so. And you can also get a hold of them for any wood working as well through their social media, or you can contact them right here on their website, moodywoodandlasercrafts.com. Like I said, let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. You get 15% off your order. All right, J-Man, let's talk some pigskin, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's start off with the NFL.
Okay.
Week two, still early in the season, but this is when I'm glad we do our podcast on Mondays, because I feel like Monday is overreaction day right after the NFL. And I feel like we're definitely going to have some takes that are probably overreactions when we look back on it, but we'll see. So,
yeah. Three winners, three losers.
All right. Well, my first winner is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You get beat week one at Lambeau, Green Bay, rival. Okay. So week two, you're coming in playing another rival at home, Chicago, who's 0-1, hungry for a win. Pretty close game through at least half, and then, my goodness, they open up the floodgates, putting up 52 points on the Bears, and just took it to them, took care of business, took it to their former offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who's the new head coach there in Chicago. And, yeah, I don't think Lions fans have anything to worry about. I still think they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. That's a tough week one to go to Lambeau.
It is.
There. So, yeah, and I think people were overreacting. Oh, they lost both coordinators. They stink. They're not going to be the same. Well, I think they wanted to kind of prove those idiots wrong, and boy, did they ever. And I'm sure that Lions fans have this weird hatred for Ben Johnson. I don't know if it's because he took the Bears job. If he would have taken the Jets job, they might not hate him that much.
Probably right.
But he's a coordinator trying to, you know, have a dream job of, you know, head coach in the NFL, and they're mad at him for taking the job. And I'm sure that didn't play a role. They even asked Ben Johnson if he felt Dan ran up the score. And he goes, do you guys remember last year when we just never punted or never kicked field goals? They're not going to change. So he kind of laughed it off a little bit, but man, Bears look bad.
Yeah. I still think they'll give him another full year. I think they'll give him 2 years, but Caleb Williams better start getting it going.
Yeah. Yep. My first winner is the Seattle Seahawks. Tough week one loss to San Francisco at home. And they go into Pittsburgh and win convincingly. They looked pretty good. Do it. Sam Darnold had a fantastic game. They were helped by rookie Caleb Johnson. massive blunder on a kickoff where he didn't just go retrieve the ball. And with these rules, the Seahawks were able to pick it up for a touchdown. So that helped significantly, but good bounce back win for them.
Absolutely. Another winner of mine is the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they're defending Super Bowl champs, and they were favored going into Arrowhead Stadium, which is still such a tough place to play. I honestly thought the Chiefs were going to beat them. It was my 1 point confidence in my pick'em league. But the Eagles, I mean, they led pretty much the whole game. It was a close game, but they pulled it out and give the Chiefs their first 0-2 start since, I think, 2014. So, yeah, good for the defending champs.
This is the first time that Patrick Mahomes has lost three in a row since he's been named starter. So, I mean, it obviously includes the Super Bowl. But, yeah, three in a row. My second winner is the Green Bay Packers. They look, I would say, the second best team in the NFC right now, if not the NFL. They've looked awfully impressive so far.
I was thinking, who's better than NFC? Well, the Eagles are right there.
Eagles,
yeah. My third winner was last night in Sunday Night Football, an extremely ugly game, but Atlanta Falcons lost a tough one week one to the Buccaneers, in which their starting kicker for many years missed a potential game-tying kick, or missed a game-tying kick, not potential, and then they bench him, sign a new kicker. Kicks pretty well last night. Didn't even know who his teammates were till after the game.
I saw that. He introduced himself.
They went into a tough place to play up there in Minnesota and got the win. And looked pretty good doing that, at least their ground game. So good for the Falcons.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson's a stud. And I think Michael Penix looked fairly okay as well, from what I saw.
Looked better than McCarthy did.
Yes, he did. Sorry, T-Dog. One of my winners are the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they're very, very fortunate to win that one off a personal foul there on a 60-yard field goal for leveraging.
Leverage. Every Bronco fan knows the word leverage now.
Yes, they do. The Colts, I mean, Daniel Jones, 300 yards passing against a great defense. So they ran very well as well.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor's a stud.
He is a stud. I think a lot of people thought the Colts would start out 0-2, and here they are 2-0.
I didn't.
They've looked pretty good.
You look at their schedule, there's a chance they could start about 6-0 if things go their way.
I know. Danny Dimes looks like a completely different quarterback, which I was not anticipating.
Yep. I'll save my thoughts on them once we get to their game this upcoming week. Who's your first loser? I'll let you start off with losers.
It's a rare one where my first loser actually won their game, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. They haven't been able to protect Joe Burrow since he's been in the league, and Burrow is the most oft injured quarterback in the NFL. They don't like to talk about it for some reason, but he cannot stay healthy for his team, and I know some of that probably has to do with how bad his protection has been. But eventually, you got to start saving yourself a little bit because you're hurting your team. He is getting a second opinion on his turf toe. But as of now, it looks like he's going to be out 3 months. And I don't think Jake Browning can keep them afloat long enough for him to come back.
Browning's a decent backup, but he's no Joe Burrow. That team's got weapons, though. I mean, with Chase and Higgins. And
they do.
They got no defense. But like you said, Joe Burrow's career, granted, he's already made a Super Bowl appearance, so this isn't probably a fair comparison, starting to remind me a little of Andrew Luck with the way the Bengals have been responsible for not putting great protection around him and with him not taking care of himself from taking some of that punishment because Andrew Luck had a tough time sliding and et cetera. So, I mean, I don't see Burrow retiring early, but
no.
I guess never say never. But, the Bengals, I text a good friend of mine last night about the Bengals. He said, well, I'm probably not going to be in as invested now the rest of the year as I would have been. So, that's definitely a big, big damper to their season already. My first loser, I'm actually going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars losing that game to Jake Browning. I mean, the Bengals could easily be 0-2 right now. Squeaked out a win against
two bad
week
teams
one and then beat the Jaguars. But I don't know. I don't know why I think the Jaguars roster should be better than they play, but it's obviously not. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I mean, there was an ugly moment on the sideline, not on the sideline. He was on the field, but, his coach, Liam Cohen, wanted him to do something. And he just kind of brushed him off, just went like that with his hand. So that's a bad look in your second game ever with this head coach. And I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I did when he was at Clemson, but ever since he's gotten into the NFL, he's mainly known for the big comeback against the Chargers in the playoffs. But hasn't done a whole lot since, honestly. I don't know. I'm not going to call him a bust because I don't think he's a bust, but I don't think he'll ever win there. So, my second loser are the Minnesota Vikings. They had a great comeback win against the Chicago Bears last Monday, but they looked putrid last night, and J.J. McCarthy looked bad. Like, he looked bad, bad. He won NFC Player of the Week week one, and I guess it's just because a lot of other quarterbacks played so bad in the NFC, because he didn't have a good game against the Bears either. He had a good quarter, but he hasn't looked very good so far.
My number two loser, and I don't like when I pick a winner and a loser from the same game, but that's what I'm doing here, Chicago Bears. It's just, I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I had them making the playoffs this year, and they still can. It's two games in the season. I get it. Maybe I'm having an overreaction Monday, but they just have not looked good the first 2 weeks. Week one was a choke in the fourth quarter. But yesterday was just a horrible second half. And now you got a Cowboys team coming into Chicago. And they had a squeaker of a miracle win yesterday. But they played the Philadelphia tough week one. So I don't know. I cannot figure the Bears out as a franchise for the life of me anymore.
Yeah. It's getting late there for Caleb Williams already. It's hard to believe it, but the fan base is starting to turn. They didn't turn really at all last year, but everything I've seen on Twitter, they're starting to turn. He doesn't process the field very well. He hasn't looked generational like they thought he would be. In fact, in a redraft, he might be the third or fourth quarterback taken now currently. So, he has not looked like they thought he would. Even with Ben Johnson. So my last loser is I'm going to go New York Giants. Russell Wilson was fantastic yesterday. You probably didn't see, you might've seen the highlights of his, you were at the game. He threw an absolute beautiful bomb to Malik Nabers to give them the lead late in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm talking 30 seconds left, maybe 34 seconds left. And then, you know, Dallas kicker does what he does. Why can't I think of his name? Best kicker in the NFL by far. But he nails one to tie it and then hits a, what was it, 64-yarder to win it or something.
Dude from
that.
Notre Dame, right?
Oh, what's his name? He was like, maybe he is from Notre Dame. He was a soccer player. Why can't I think of Brandon Aubrey? Okay, that's who. Yeah. He was Notre Dame. All right. Yeah, there have been 4 64-yard field goals made in the history of the NFL, and he has 2 of them.
Crazy. So, yeah, he's a pretty good kicker.
But missed opportunity for the Giants yesterday, and now they have Kansas City, who's looking to get right this week. So
Sunday night or off?
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know. my last loser is me. Yes, me. I go with myself as a loser. And why I'm saying that is go down with my wife to the game yesterday, and we had a good time despite the loss. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I'm ever going to go back. I'm not going to go back to Lucas Oil Stadium in a while. I am 1-4 in games watching the Broncos there, and more times than not, it ends in a weird way.
Yeah.
The one win was a 2017 Thursday night game in December when both teams were terrible and it didn't matter. I mean, it should have never came down, in my opinion, from the Broncos standpoint, to a game-winning field goal attempt anyways. They had multiple times to shut the door on the Colts in the fourth quarter. Couldn't do it. Interception in the just outside the red zone. A missed 42-yard field goal from a kicker who doesn't miss too often, let alone 42-yarder indoors in the middle, from the middle of the field. Broncos defense, for whatever reason, let the Colts hit 4 different plays over 40 yards. But they were bend and don't break all day. The Colts had 6 red zone appearances, but only 2 touchdowns, where the Broncos were 3-for-3 in red zone appearances with touchdowns. And then the whole leveraging thing, it was the correct call by the rule book. Still makes me frustrated. It was thrown there. I don't like when penalties cost, you know, the result of the game, but it was a rule. They did it. Still don't know. They didn't need to rush the middle on a 60-yarder.
No, they didn't.
Shane Steichen should be sending a Tillman a bag of whatever he wants, because if not, he was going to get booed off the field by that Colts fan base.
Yeah.
What an idiotic decision to run down the clock and try to kick a 60-yarder when your kicker has never attempted anything over 48 yards.
Yeah, he'd only attempted 9 field goals in his career to that point.
Yeah, nothing even in the 50s. Just mind-boggling. But close loss by the Broncos. I'm not panicking yet. Saw some good things, but definitely saw some things, signs of concern as well yesterday. And like you said, Daniel Jones all of a sudden is looking like Peyton Manning against the Dolphins defense and the Broncos defense. Broncos couldn't get any pass rush against the Colts. They only had 1 sack. They had 7 sacks against the Titans in week 1. Hopefully they can turn it around against LA at LA on Sunday, but it won't be easy. So I'm calling myself a loser because I had to walk out of that stadium. Fans were for the most part all right until I was walking out. I was honestly so mad. It not only leverage, I hate how it's a 15-yard penalty, by the way. So when it went to the 45-yarder, I grabbed Stephanie. I said, let's go so we can beat traffic. So we were walking up the steps and saw the kick. Walking up the steps, that's when the guy mouthed off to me. I didn't even look up, didn't make eye contact with him. Glad my wife didn't hear what he said, because she might have tried to pick a fight with the guy. Very rude thing he said to me. That's all right.
Colts fans are mean.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we were fine. We never got any altercations or anything. But Stephanie even said, like, I don't know if I want to go to a road game again for my next NFL game. I think I want to go to a game in Denver again. So,
yeah, road games aren't overly fun for it. Really, football's the NFL is the only sport. Cause I've been to like road games at college football and it's not like that at all.
No.
but the NFL, they're ruthless to you.
Yeah. There was a lot of Bronco fans there though.
Sounded like it.
Yeah. They traveled pretty well. So, so I am a loser for going to Lucas Oil again and thinking it was going to be different, because the previous time they played there, I went with my dad in 2019 and the Colts kicked a game winning field goal to win 15-13. So
That's a fun one.
That was Adam Vinatieri. Well, so,
wow. I've been calling you a loser for years.
I know.
But yeah, that'll do it for winners, losers. You ready to pick some games?
I am, even though I hate my picks, especially with some of the injury news that's come out today.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I need to go back through on Monday and like actually edit them, but I never do. I always do them after like the 4 o'clock games on Sunday. And then I just never change them for whatever
I did during my lunch break today and still never went back and changed them. Whatever.
Yeah. Fantastic game here Thursday night. We have the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills.
I think the last time I saw the line was 12 and a half.
It's too low.
Sorry, J-Man. I'm taking the Bills for 15.
You have more confidence in them than I do. I'm taking them for 16. Bills for 16. And Mike McDaniel might get fired if they get beat by 30-plus like I anticipate they will.
I did not think they'd lose at home to the Patriots yesterday. So.
No, I didn't either. Even after their bad game against Indianapolis, I just thought they'd – and they were in control for a majority of the second half and just they returned a punt for a touchdown, 76-yard punt return touchdown to give them the lead. All right, we got the momentum back. Gave up a 95-yard kickoff return touchdown on the ensuing kickoff, and that just went. And then Devon Achane looked like he had a 40-yard touchdown reception with a minute left to give him the lead, and his toe stepped out of bounds at the 26. Oh. And then they went delay of game, sack. Felt like it was brutal. Tua's done. McDaniel's done. Chris Greer should have been done years ago.
It's time to burn it down, J-Man. Yep.
Time to tear it down again. And so the rebuild didn't work. And my fear is Bill Belichick will be the next head coach.
Oh, that would be awful. Oh, no, you don't want that. Too old.
And probably GM, too, which that him being the GM would be even worse than being the head coach, in my opinion.
So, is there any
any
tie out there, like somebody in college that was that's a head coach? I guess Belichick's a head coach at college. That
yeah, that's a good point.
That was in the Dolphins organization or anything?
Not in college that I can think of. There's a lot of guys that are current head coaches that were on the Dolphins staff at one point. Ben Johnson was one. Zach Taylor was one. Dan Campbell was one.
Yeah.
My dream would be, you know, maybe Mike Tomlin wants a change of scenery and they trade for him. That'd be my dream. But they should have just hired Jim Harbaugh when they had the chance. But the issue with that is when they hired Mike McDaniel, I think Michigan was coming off the weird COVID year where they went like 2-8 or 3-7 or whatever. So it would have been hard to justify hiring Harbaugh then. I know Ross has wanted to hire Jim for years because he's a Michigan
man. This name might get some interesting reactions, but how about John Gruden?
Pass. I think I'd prefer Belichick to Gruden.
Okay. All right.
I think I'd prefer Jay Gruden to John Gruden.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. All right, moving on from that franchise. Green Bay Packers at the Cleveland Browns.
This is my 16-pointer, Packers for 16.
I have the Packers for 14. They should handle them fairly handily. Indianapolis Colts.
It's any week now till the Browns make a quarterback change. Any week.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel did come in yesterday in the blowout.
Oh, did he?
I think he only threw three times, but he did throw a touchdown. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a shot here sooner rather than later. But Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans.
I'm taking Colts for 7, and they're off the 2-0 start. The only reason I'm not taking them higher is their first road game. It's a divisional game. Weird things can happen. Daniel Jones is playing great. Don't get me wrong. Colts are off to way better starting. We thought there would be. I still am not buying in completely.
I don't believe him. Nope, me either. Daniel Jones has to do it for multiple weeks for me to actually believe in him. Because we have, 6 years of bad with him. Mm-hmm. So, I'm taking the Colts for 8. For the same exact reasons you are. That I didn't pick them to be like a double-digit pointer. I think Cam Ward will be pretty good. He's got nothing around him right now. Those receivers are terrible. I think his coaching staff's horrendous. Colts for 8. Cincinnati Bengals at the Minnesota Vikings. This one was a very hard one to predict.
I took the Vikings for 10 and didn't realize McCarthy's out 2 to 4 weeks. So this is Browning against Carson Wentz.
I didn't even realize he was out. I didn't even hear that until right now. What'd he do?
So, I don't know, it was a foot or an ankle, but I saw it on the bottom ticker before I came up here. I'm like, well, that's great. I just took Carson Wentz for 10 points.
Well, I took Carson Wentz for 9 points. So right. We're right there with each other. So, yeah, that's one that I will not be tuning into. Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots.
I don't know why, but I'm taking the Steelers for 5. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers for 5 as well. I don't think New England's very good. I just think the Dolphins are that bad. So Pittsburgh for 5. L.A. Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles for 9.
I have the Eagles for 13. I think they'll get them pretty easily. New York Jets at the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Buccaneers for 13. Jets stink.
Yeah, Jets are bad. I have Tampa Bay for 12. Vegas Raiders at the Washington Commanders.
I always hate, and going back to the Buccaneers, I hate picking teams that haven't even played yet tonight. Yeah. Doubleheader going on as we speak. And Jaden Daniels is questionable for this game, but I'm still taking Commanders for 8.
I have the Commanders for 12. They have looked thoroughly unimpressive so far, though, through the first two games. Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers.
Falcons for 11. Panthers are awful, and they lost 2 starting offensive linemen yesterday.
Yeah, I have the Falcons for 4, mainly because it's just a road game. That's why I don't have them as high as I could. Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Texans for 6.
I have Texans for 7. Wish I could watch them play before making this. I think they just kicked off, though, didn't they?
They did against the Buccaneers. Yep.
But I don't believe in Jacksonville. Houston didn't look very good week 1, though, against the Rams, but I think they'll beat them. Denver Broncos at the LA Chargers.
Hope I'm wrong. I'm taking the Chargers for 3. I think they beat the Raiders tonight to go 2-0, and that'll be a tough game for Denver. But I'm not panicked yet. I still think Broncos are a better and more talented team than the Colts. They just had a bad fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers for 6. Mainly because it's on the road. If it was in Denver, it probably would have been flipped. But it'll be interesting. Of course, I'd like to see how the Chargers play tonight first. Yeah, give me the Chargers for 6. New Orleans Saints at the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks are 14. Saints are in a conversation for worst team in the league.
Yeah, I would say Saints, Browns, Titans. I wouldn't say the Dolphins are in that convo, but it's hard to really say they aren't at this point. Bears. But Saints are bad. Give me the Seahawks for 15. Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears.
I've talked trash about the Bears a lot tonight, but I'm taking Bears for 1. I don't know why.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I have the Chicago Bears winning as well for 1 point. I don't know why. Can't explain it to you, but give me the Bears for 1.
If they don't and start 0-3, it could get ugly in Chicago.
They're already calling for Tyson Bagent, so.
No, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers.
Purdy's out still. I'm taking the Cardinals for 2. I like the Cardinals team so far this
year. Yeah, 2-0. I have the Cardinals for 3, so I'm right there with you. Kansas City Chiefs at the New York Giants.
Chiefs for 12. They're not losing this game.
Chiefs for 10. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm. Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. Travis Watchering for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact us at 298-694-561. Book it. I'm watching the Cubs while I do these
picks. That's all right.
Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens for 4. That's going to be a really fun Monday night game, though.
Very fun. I have the Ravens for 2. I think this has to be the year for Lamar. I'm very happy he's on my fantasy team. That's all I'll say.
I hate my team.
Any more NFL thoughts?
No, I'm just – that was probably the toughest loss I've ever experienced live.
In person?
Yeah, for my professional football team, I should say. Yep. So, that was a tough one. I mean, my wife and I went from jumping up and down celebration thinking the Broncos won the game to, oh, my God, there's a flag. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the game was over, too. I'm like, why are they just kind of walking around?
Yeah,
I didn't say anything.
I think it was Bonito, somebody on the field – threw their head back like this. I'm like, crap. What did they do? I thought maybe it was roughing the kicker or something. Then leverage. So.
Yeah, you don't see that called very much.
It's been called 50 times in the last 15 seasons.
Yep. Doesn't get called very much, but it was. He did leverage. It stinks that it was, because honestly, that makes you feel better than if it wasn't actually leveraging.
Right. It's just one of those things where that could be called a lot more than it is, I feel like. But
and who knows if they would have called it in the first quarter, but they did. Right. So college football here. We only got about 9 minutes left, so I'm going to get right into my blind ranking here. My blind ranking is Purdue football seasons.
Sweet.
They're all bad football seasons.
Awesome.
So 1 through 5, I want you to rank them. 1 being your least favorite watch. Ooh, to 5 being your most favorite watch of these bad football seasons.
Oh God.
So I'm starting off with the 2013 season when they went 1-11.
That was one.
That was your least favorite, huh? Okay. Right.
Not only was the team bad, their offense with John Shoup was so dang boring. Yeah. you didn't even know what they were doing half the time. They had no identity. Rob Henry, we've had him on the show, great guy, struggled out the gate. Nothing. And they had some pro talent on the team looking back on it. Just started off with a 42-7 whooping against Cincinnati and just got worse. Yeah, that team was so dry and boring.
Yeah.
Coach was boring.
2019 when they went 4-8.
This was a disappointing because I had high expectations going into that year. And
remember that.
They lose at Nevada, and then Stindelar and Moore go out for the season on the same play against Minnesota in like week 4 or 5 or whatever that was. They still fought hard that year, but they had like a million freshmen playing due to injuries. I will go with number 4 for that one.
I remember even coming into that season when we did our predictions, I think you had them winning the West.
I probably did. I mean, because they were coming off a decent 2018, a lot of guys coming back. Yeah. No.
Especially Rondell after having the incredible freshman year.
David Bell was coming in as a freshman. Karloff was coming in. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. 2008 when they went 4-8.
Joe Tiller's last year, Curtis Painter's senior year, probably should have been a bowl team. Yeah. They whooped Indiana in that last game. They weren't as bad as the record. I'll put that team at 5.
Okay.
I always like Joe Tiller's teams.
2015 when they went 2-10.
I remember I was mad because 2014 they went 3-9, so I thought they were starting to take a step forward. Then they took a step back and went 2-10. In 2015, weren't even that competitive as they were in 14. So, but I'll put that team at 3 because I think you got another one that'll fit in my 2 slot remaining.
Yeah, last year's team, 1-11.
Number 2, the blowout sucked, but at least they were entertaining in losses against Illinois, and they had a close loss against Michigan State and Northwestern. I mean, Hazel's 2013 team couldn't even say that. So, yeah, but that 13 team and 2014 were easily the 2 worst Purdue teams I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The Hazel years were dark. Those were dark years.
9 wins in 4 years. That'll do it to you.
That's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yep. And the blind ranking segment is brought to you by, like as every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2025 or 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Pick 'em this week. We have Iowa at Rutgers.
Yeah, not too many Big Ten games going on this week.
No, only 8.
I'm taking Iowa on the road for 1.
I'm taking Iowa on the road for 1 as well. Rutgers is 3-0, haven't played anyone. Iowa can't score points, so I think this will be something like 13-10 or something like that.
On a Friday night.
Yep. Friday night football. I'll be tuning into that one. Maryland at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin looked bad down Tuscaloosa, but Alabama historically makes a lot of teams look bad down there. Maryland's undefeated, but hadn't played anybody. Taking Wisconsin for 4.
I'm taking Wisconsin for four as well. Yeah, I don't think Wisconsin's very good, and I think they'll be lucky to make a bowl this year. And I think they'll whatchamacallit's fired. Why can't I think of names today? Luke Fickell's fired at the end of the year. Oregon State at Oregon.
Number six, Oregon somehow fell two spots in the AP poll. I don't figure that. Couldn't figure that one out. But Civil War, as they call this rivalry. Oregon's like a 35-point favorite. Oregon for eight. Yeah.
I have Oregon for eight as well. We might have the same picks here this week.
We might.
But yeah, Oregon, I think, has a case for best team in college football so far.
They might win the national championship.
Yeah. Oregon for eight as well. Purdue at Notre Dame.
I like Purdue's fight against USC. Yeah, I really did. I think they're already a lot better than they were last year. I think they got a lot better coaching staff. They got some good pieces in the portal. Long ways to go. I'm still not saying they're going to be bowl eligible or anything. At number 24, Notre Dame, eighth team ever in college football history to start off 0-2 and still be ranked. Granted, they've lost to two good teams by a combined point total of four. Notre Dame's 26-point favorite. I think Purdue covers, but Notre Dame wins pretty easily. Notre Dame for seven.
I have Notre Dame for seven as well. Yeah. Purdue, and I said it in our group chat, and I wasn't even in trying to like be like critical. They looked like a college football team against USC. The turnovers are what did it and prevented
them.
It from being in a couple of them were in the red zone too, in the end zone, which were tough, but they also had an incredibly fortunate, hilarious break. That was hilarious. Where it was a lateral and it went through defender's hand and somehow picked up by
Ryan Brown.
I'm gonna call him Rob Henry, but Ryan Brown.
Yeah. Same number. The end zone. So, yeah.
But that's probably what's doing it. Yeah. But Notre Dame for seven. Michigan at Nebraska.
Number 21, Michigan at undefeated Nebraska. I think Nebraska gets it done. Give Nebraska for three.
I have Nebraska for five. Michigan's been unimpressive so far.
Well, they won by 60 on Saturday, but.
Didn't play anyone.
Yeah, that's
true. Nothing to me.
That's true.
Illinois at Indiana. I would say this is the game of the week in the Big Ten.
Yeah, number nine at number 19.
Probably could have been game day, but they're going to Miami where 1-2 Florida comes to town. So
that's stupid. Indiana's biggest home game in a long time. I guess you could argue it was Michigan last year, but I'm taking the Illini for two. I think this Illinois team's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I'm taking Illinois for three. Neither team's been tested. Illinois' schedule's been slightly more difficult.
At least they went to Duke.
Played at Duke. I'll give them credit for that. This is a big one for Illinois. Our offensive line has not played very well here recently, really all season. So they're going to need to run the ball. I think I saw this is the first time in Indiana history where they host a top 10 team while ranked.
I believe it.
First time ever. So yeah, huge game. Which is weird that this is a massive game in the Big Ten when they are perennially, cellar dwellers there. So things done changed a little bit. But Illinois for three. Washington at Washington State.
The Apple Cup. Give me the Huskies for six.
I have Washington State for two. Don't know why I did it, but I did it. They're undefeated. I don't think they've played anyone. Washington hasn't played anyone either, but Washington State for two. Michigan State at USC.
USC is now ranked 25th. I still don't think they're tremendous, but they do have a lot of athletes on the field. They got a good quarterback. Give me USC for five.
Yeah, I have USC for six. I think they'll end up winning about eight to nine games, which in our predictions, I think we had them 9-3 or 10-2 or something.
I have 10-2. Yeah.
I think their schedule was fairly easy. So, I have USC for six.
I have for five.
Top 25 games, if you want to do that real quick. Sure. We don't have much time left. I'll get them pulled up here. Let's see here. Top 25. AP top 25 for week four. We have 17 Texas Tech at 16 Utah.
That's going to be a good one. Give me the Red Raiders on the road.
Give me Utah. Utah's 3.5-point faves. Number 22, Auburn at number 11, Oklahoma.
I like Oklahoma. Their quarterback is playing really well.
Yeah, Mateer's very good. Give me Oklahoma in that one. They are 6.5-point favorites. That's it. For ranked versus ranked this week. So kind of a rough week.
Yeah, kind of a soft week. But we'll go. Come week five, it's pure conference play pretty much across the board. So it'll be good. It'll be good. So, all right. Birdie or bogey time, J-Man. Since the start of the 2023 season, who leads the NFL in touchdown passes?
I want to say this is probably someone I'm not going to be thinking. It's not Mahomes. He's been on my fantasy team each of the last two seasons, and he's stunk. I don't think it's Josh Allen because he runs it in a bunch. Maybe Stafford's been hurt. Is it Baker Mayfield?
You, my friend, got a birdie.
Oh, yes.
72 touchdowns.
Myself, hello.
I got you. All right.
I fist pumped too hard. I turned my mic down.
72 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's been awfully consistent too.
Yeah.
So
good pull. There's no way to catch you now.
I'm very, very glad I chose to not do the stadium one.
Yep.
Very glad. But thanks for watching. We will be back at or next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.